Can you speak a little about the connection, relationship Ajahn Chah had with Lumpa Tongrat and Lumpa Tongrat in general? We don't know much of that special teacher. No, we don't. There is a book in Thai and hasn't been translated into English yet. And it's a really fun book to read. Ajahn Tongrat was a very special teacher, and a different temperament, different personality, eccentric, Ajahn Chah, when Ajahn Chah first went to visit him and pay respects, because they're in the northeast of Thailand, the vast majority of forest monks, practice monks, keeping the vinaya, were all Dhammayut and mostly in the lineage of Ajahn Mun or Ajahn Sao. But Ajahn Chah's, the teachers that Ajahn Chah drew close to were Mahanikaya monks, Lumpu Kinnerly, who Ajahn Chah had a much closer relationship with, and Lumpa Tongrat, who lived in Ubon, and it's hard to know exactly. I don't know exactly. My own sense of it, and it could be completely fabricated on my part just from picking up bits and pieces, but Ajahn Chah used to go and visit and pay respects to Lumpa Tongrat from time to time. I don't know that he spent any extended period of time with him. The very first time that he went to pay respects to Lumpa Tongrat, he heard his reputation, because he had lived and trained with Ajahn Mun in the early days of Ajahn Mun's teaching career, Tudong, and before a lot of the formalization of him being kind of the flagship teacher of the Dhammayut tradition. And so it's a lot more fluidity between the Dhammayut Mahanikaya then. And so that Ajahn Tongrat lived and went Tudong with and stayed in the monasteries Ajahn Mun. So then Ajahn Chah first went and paid respects. He was living down in Det Udom area, a bit south of Ubon, closer to the border of Cambodia. And he went in to pay respects, and Ajahn Tongrat, who'd never met him before, and Ajahn Chah, who'd never met Ajahn Tongrat before, Chah, you've come. He's like, I've been waiting for you. So there was this immediate kind of familiarity. And Ajahn Tongrat, as eccentric as he was or could be, one of the unique features of his monastery was morning puja and meditation together, evening puja and meditation together, doing things as a group, and which is different than the, say, the Dhammayuddha Jhanman style of get back to your kuti, practice on your own, stay in solitude, keep in solitude. And Ajahn Chah picked up that model to use as a model for Wat Pa Pong. So we inherited that from Ajahn Tonglen. And interesting because Ajahn Tonglen was such a strong character. He was criticized by he'd stand in front of lay people's houses and wait for them to, because in Thailand, if you walk on Pindabad in the villages, and then you walk through, and then people come out all the time. They know what's happening. It's happening at a specific time. and there's a very polite way of saying, keep walking. I'm not offering anything. It's sort of, oh, the rice isn't cooked yet. Khao yang mai sok. And Ajahn Tonglen he'd been standing waiting there for some time, and the lay person calls out, oh yeah, the rice is cooked. It's okay, I'll wait. and he was asked after, he said, that's really impolite. And he said, yeah, but they have to learn how to offer. He was willing to sort of train people or teach them or give them the opportunity to make offerings. They're thinking of, there's a great story that Ajahn Mahabua tells of Ajahn Tonglen. This was Ajahn Tonglen had been with Ajahn Mun over the years and come and go, and then as Ajahn Mun got much older, then he was staying more in monasteries and Ajahn Mahabhu was actually Ajahn Mun's attendant, and Ajahn Tonglen was Ajahn Mun was he's getting older, so he wasn't teaching as much, and then Ajahn Mun was upstairs in his kuti, and Ajahn Mahabhu was down below, sort of keeping things clean and neat and tidy, and being around, look after Ajahn Mun if he needed attention, Ajahn Tonglen came in, and he started making loud noises, talking really loudly, banging things, and Ajahn Mahabhu said, stop, Ajahn Mun, he's really good, and he said, stop me, and Ajahn Mahabhu said, he said, I was so scared my liver was shriveling. And he was really getting fearful of Ajahn Mun giving him a tongue lashing. And Ajahn Mun, why? Just stop. He says, we got to get him come down and teaching. So that night there was a word got out, everybody come to the hall, and Ajahn Mun gave this blistering Dhamma talk, excoriating people for their lack of restraint and their lack of composure, and all the monks just said, and Ajahn Mahabodh said, "Tongnuts," in there, smiling. got him going. So the Ajahn Tonglad, he wasn't that, like, I don't know how old he was when he passed. He wasn't that old, I don't think. It could be late 60s, early 70s, something like that. And he living in a monastery, a pretty simple place, a grassroots salad. There was a layman that from Bungwai village who was there. Ajahn Tonglad sort of had sort of told people, if anybody wants to come and hear some good Dhamma, then come in such a night, and 3 days around, 2 days around, whatever. Anyway, so there, the people are gathered, and he's sitting up teaching and talking with the lay people, and they had done puja and meditation. He's teaching, and then he's, I'm getting pretty tired, and he laid down on his side and continued teaching. And then after teaching for a while, then he said, "Well, something to the effect, oh, I'm out of energy. I'll take my leave from you all now." And then he died. it was passed away there. So he's very revered, eccentric, but a seminal teacher for Ajahn Chah. And the monastery where he passed away, Lumpa Liya made the effort to protect it and expand the area around it to make sure it was protected, because it was starting to be encroached on. The original sala had sort of fallen down, and they had the cremation place. They knew where it was. But anyway, so they built a Lumpa Liya and built a jetty and a sala, and it's a functioning, good functioning branch monastery at Wat Pa Pong now. Yeah.